As our pastor says many times, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, please turn this evening to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read here in just a few minutes, verse 7 down to verse 21. 1 John chapter 4. Before we begin, I would like to say thank you to our pastor for the opportunity to speak this evening. Thank you for being here. What a great crowd on a Sunday evening. And thank you to our teenagers and our families and our church staff for giving my wife and I and our family the privilege to serve here. Y'all pray for people like Stephanie Houston and Karen McGuire. They have to deal with me on a regular basis. And then y'all pray for me. I have to deal with people like Ron Baldwin on a regular basis. So I know that you would put me in your prayers there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. My pastor in college and for many years in Tennessee would say that God speaks to us in several different ways. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through other Christians. I think that's very important for us to surround ourselves around godly people, because God could speak through them to us. This is not a message for teenagers, but I think, teenagers, it's very important for you to be around godly counsel, like your pastor, maybe a Sunday school teacher, a godly mom or dad, a godly grandparent. It's very important for us to be around those Christians because God can speak through them to us. That's one of the ways that God speaks. God also speaks through circumstances. We are studying right now in our teen Sunday school department the life of Joseph. And my, how God used circumstances and situations to speak to Joseph. But one other way that God speaks to us is through his word. Have you ever desired light or maybe forgiveness, maybe peace in your life? It's found in God's word. Psalm 119 many times says it's through God's word that God will try to teach you and speak to you. And so it's very important for us to be around God's word. I'm trying to teach and make a big emphasis in our Sunday school and our youth department to memorizing God's word. And one of the verses that we're trying to memorize is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. What does it say, young people? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're trying to make a big deal about God's word because we want God to speak to our young people. And the truth is, we want God to speak to everyone. So how does God speak to us? He speaks to us through circumstances, through other Christians, and through his word. I'll just take the liberty to say this. I think that's why it's important for us to be at church, because God's word is going to be taught and preached. And I'm so glad that when I come here to Worth Baptist Church, I know that our pastor has studied and he's prepared a message from God's word to speak to us. And so Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe it's mission conference. In just a few weeks, we're going to be having a Bible conference. And we'll have guest preachers here that have prepared messages from God's word to preach to you. It'd be hard for God to speak to you if you're not here. So I want to challenge you to be here to hear God's word. As you look into God's word, God teaches in several different ways as well, too. One of the ways that God teaches through his word is through examples or through illustrations. For example, can I give an example? When I say Adam, you think of Adam and Eve. When I say Noah, you think of Noah and the... When I say Jonah, you think of Jonah and the whale, the fish. When I say David, you think of David and Goliath. When I say Moses, you think of Moses and a lot. Yeah, that was a tricky one there. Maybe the Ten Commandments, maybe the burning bush, maybe the Ten Plagues, maybe the Red Sea. But the whole idea is all throughout God's word, God is teaching through illustration and examples, and those things are for us. But one of the other ways that God teaches in his word is not just through illustration and examples, but God teaches us through repetition. Things are mentioned over and over and over again. That's one of the ways that the Sig Mini household try to teach. I love our family, and I'm glad that we're all here. And some of them are here, but not really here. But one of the ways that we are trying to teach our children, and it's not easy raising children, but I haven't really figured it all out yet, so I'm hoping to soon before they get to the teenage years. But one of the ways that we are trying to teach our kids is through repetition. If mom says something once, she means it. If mom says something twice, she really means it. If mom says something the third time, it's too late. The kids are in trouble. Are you with me? The old saying, repetition is the mother of all learning, that really is not something that someone came up with. That's actually found in God's word. Let me give you an example. Exodus chapter 20, you find the Ten Commandments that are given to us. Just a few chapters after that, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, I believe, you have the Ten Commandments given again. Was it something that God forgot? Was it something he wasn't sure about? No, he was using as a way of teaching Moses and the people of God. He was using repetition. And really, in the Ten Commandments, you find really throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So with those things being said, as we think of God teaching us, it even reminded me of some of the things I'm trying to teach Jonathan. Jonathan, can I call you up here? I don't know if I was planning on doing this. Come on, paper, buddy. This is our oldest son. Jonathan is 7 years old. And we just put him into a little basketball league. And he's enjoying it. And I have been trying to teach him a few things to get ready for this basketball league. He's never played. He's playing in a league that's second and third graders, 9 and under. And so he's one of the smallest kids out there. And last week we were playing a group, and Israel, where's Israel at? I appreciate the quote. He put something on Facebook. Jonathan, one of the first games that he had, said, Dad, I faced a guy that was like Stephen James, LeBron James and Stephen Curry at the same time. The guy was huge. He was fast. He was big. But we're really enjoying it. And so he's learning a few things. He's only played 2 games. But Jonathan, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, okay? Some things that we've been working on. I usually tell you, when you get the ball, there are 2 things you should do right away. What's the first thing you should do when you get the ball? Square the passer and square the basket. And then what are you going to do? Inside pivot foot towards the goal, what are you going to do? Possibly, what's one of your first moves maybe? Pass. Or if you can't do that, you're going to do something else on your own. Show. Jab. Cross. How does a kid get something like that? Thank you, Jonathan. Let's give him a hand. I like to say that he's just going to be a great, unbelievable basketball player and that he was born with that. No. Dad has spent some time repeating these things over and over and over. And to be honest, I think right when he was born, shortly after that, I said, Jonathan, here's a ball. All right. And you want your bottle? Well, learn to dribble this basketball first. It's through repetition. In class, let's look back at 1 John chapter 4. There's a thought, a theme, a main idea, really just one word that's mentioned over and over again. Just in case you weren't paying attention or following along, let's see if I can help you. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I don't have to keep going, but what do you think the main idea that God is trying to teach through 1 John chapter 4? You guys are smart. It's through repetition. As a matter of fact, when you look here in 1 John chapter 4, 27 different times the word love is mentioned. And I want us to look just for a few minutes here at verse 7, verse 11, and verse 12. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible or underlining, would you just note this phrase that's mentioned three different times in verse 7, verse 11, and verse 12? It says this, and this is the title of the message tonight. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. The word love here in this passage is agape love. It is not sentimental, it's not sexual, it's not a social love, it's a supernatural love. One author said this, that this love is that which the Holy Spirit can put in our hearts, and only the Spirit of God can make it real to us. It is the love of God, and only the Spirit of God can enable us to extend this love to others. I just want to give you a quick outline this evening. I want to talk to you about, number one, the evidence of God's love. Number two, the personal experience of God's love. And then number three, the command to express God's love. Let's look, first of all, at the evidence of God's love. If you'll hold your place here and turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at the evidence of God's love. Here in the book of 1 John, there's several definitions that are given to God. God is light, God is life, and God is love. And so we want to notice the evidence of God's love. Because God is love, he must communicate his love. Not only in words, but in deeds. And someone said this, that true love is never static or inactive. God reveals his love to mankind in many ways. But the greatest evidence of God's love is in the death of his son, the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 5, if you have your place there, verse 6 says, For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Turn to 1 John back again to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. It says this, and this was manifested the love. You may want to circle the word manifested there. It has the meaning of to come out in the open or to be made public. It's the complete opposite of to hide or to make secret. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 8 says this, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. For this purpose, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So where is the evidence of the love of God? It was at the cross. God manifested his love at the cross when he gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And the gospel message that we have, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the evidence of God's love. Number two, can I give you my personal experience of God's love? I had the privilege and the opportunity this summer to travel over 17,000 miles. We went to Ohio, California, New York, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, and I even spent a few days in Guatemala. But this summer was particularly special to me because on July the 11th, I celebrated my 20th spiritual birthday. Could I just take a minute to share my experience and God's love to me? My family and I, my mom and dad are from the country of Laos. And I was born in Louisiana. We moved around a little bit, but I grew up in North Carolina. And so I tell people that I'm a Tar Heel. If you cut me, I bleed Carolina blue. We didn't grow up in a church-going family. But when I was in North Carolina, I thank God for a local church that I had a heart to reach children, boys and girls, teenagers and families, on a bus. And so I remember going to church for the very first time on a Sunday school bus. People came by and picked me up to go to church. Long story short, as a kid, I was going through the things of going to church, and maybe for not all the right reasons, but I remember as a teenager on July the 11th, 1998. Pastor, I was going through all the Christian things. Someone had given me a Bible. I had learned the books of the New Testament. and involved in church youth group activities. Every now and then I was going to church, sometimes on Sunday evenings. It was a big deal. But I remember on that Saturday evening, I had just gotten back from going to a Christian camp. And thank God for camp ministry. I remember getting back, and that Saturday evening in my bedroom, I asked myself, Tony, you've been going to church. You've been hearing a lot about Jesus Christ. You know the gospel. You have Bible verses memorized. But do you really know that if you died, that you're 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? And that night, for the very first time, I had prayed a prayer before. That night, for the very first time, I had to come to be honest before God and myself and acknowledge that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I picked up the phone and thanked God for Christian people at a local church. I called a man and I said, this sounds crazy, but I don't really know that I'm saved. Could you help me get that settled? He took me to a few Bible verses that I had heard before. And that night I prayed a prayer. I repented of my sin. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I don't remember all the words. I just took God's word and by faith accepted that. And that night was the night that I got saved. That was my personal experience. And I share with the teenagers sometimes, lights didn't flash and bells didn't ring, and I didn't have a spooky feeling, but that was the night that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And tonight, the challenge to you may be going through the motions of everything, but has there ever been a definite time that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's my personal experience. And then we come to point number three, and this is really kind of the emphasis that I want to give to the message tonight. So we have the evidence of God's love, my personal experience of God's love, and then we see our command, or the command to express God's love. One writer said, love is a valid test of our fellowship and our sonship because God is love. Love is part of the very being and nature of God. If we are united to God through faith in Christ, we share his nature. And since his nature is love, love is the test of the reality of our spiritual life. I want to talk to you just a few things about expressing God's love. First of all, I want to talk to you about expressing God's love to individuals. I read a story I wanted to share with you. A Salvation Army worker found a derelict woman alone on the street and invited her to come into the chapel for help. But the woman refused to help. The worker assured her, we love you. We want to help you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. But the woman did not budge. As if on divine impulse, the story says, the Salvation Army worker leaned over and kissed that woman on the cheek, taking her into her arms. That woman began to sob, and like a child was led into the chapel where she ultimately trusted Christ. She said, you told me that God loved me. And then she later said, but it wasn't until you showed me that God loved me that I wanted to be saved. Love means putting others first, being unselfish. Love is action, showing others we care. Not just saying it. To show love, we must sacrificially, out of our time and money, meet the needs of others. The gospel message is love. The only way to win others is to not just declare the gospel, but to demonstrate the gospel in how we live. One writer said this, that too much witnessing today is mere mounting of words. People need an expression of love. One writer said he reveals himself through the lives of his children. Men cannot see God, but they can see us. And we are first to experience God's love, and then God's love is to be expressed through us. So let me ask you the question, are you expressing the love of God? We're not saved by loving Christ. We are saved by believing in Christ. But after we realize what he did for us on the cross, our normal response should be to love him and to love one another. The world will not believe that God loves sinners until they see his love at work in our lives and through our lives. I almost wanted to, Pastor, but I'm not going to, just for time's sake. I was going to call all the teenagers up here. We're not going to do it, though, just to see if you're awake. And then just send you back. Because I know the teenagers are always listening when I'm preaching. Why are we laughing? I wonder sometimes, Pastor, and I've shared this with our young people, just even recently in our Sunday school class. If a little boy walked through those doors and just sat down in one of these pews, just so happened to be Asian, squinty eyes, spiky hair. His name was maybe Tony. I wonder, would Tony feel welcome? If he walked into your youth group, teenager, here at Worth Baptist Church, would he even want to come back? His mom's not here. His dad's not here. He doesn't really have much going on for him. If he walked in through those doors there and sat down here because some bus workers randomly picked him up because they offered him some candy and he came and sat down right there, would anybody make him feel welcome? Would anybody express the love of God to that individual? Do you remember meeting a teenage boy named Alan? Just a few weeks ago, he came to our church youth group, our youth department, 7th grade. Man, a great kid. Really outgoing, respectful, everything I said, yes, sir, no, sir, was listening, sitting there. I wonder, teenagers, did you even meet him? Do you even know who I'm talking about? One of our ladies were out door knocking, soul winning. She met a boy named Paul. She gave me the contact, and she said, I think he's going to come to church. Guess what, on Sunday, he came to church. A big old boy. Paul was his name. Uplift Almighty Preparatory Charter School. I've learned this in Texas. It has nothing to do with the message. Every corner you turn, there's another school. Private school, public school, charter school, home school. And so I talked to Paul, and I figured he was some sort of big football player. He doesn't even like sports. He says, I'm a computer geek. I said, okay. You play ping pong? No, but let's try to play. 10th grader, big old boy. I wonder, because he was here at church on Sunday. Did any of our teenagers meet him? He's not been back yet. I don't know for what reason, but he's just like Tony. He came to church. Did we miss our opportunity to express the love of God to that individual? And maybe it's Tyrese or Talia. Oh, those are kids, Miss Rachel, that came to our church faithfully on the bus route. Thank God for those that picked them up. Every Sunday they would be here. I try to make every effort to go visit them and their mom and never really got a chance to connect. And they were here for just a few months, it seemed like, 4 or 5 months. And about every week they were here, Pastor. And then one Sunday, one of our teenage girls said, Brother Tony, did you know that Tyrese and Talia moved? I think to Missouri, just out of state somewhere. And I wonder, did we get a chance to express the love of God to those individuals there? There's a young lady that comes faithfully. Now, I'm really putting a lot of pressure on our kids in our youth department here. A young girl by the name of Autumn, Everman High School, 9th grade, has been coming faithfully. Came to her all-nighter youth activity. She's been coming, but I wonder, has she been expressing, has someone expressed the love of God to her? Because she's, look, the cool activities that Brother Tony has, the candy that he gives away, those things are going to get old. You know what's going to stick? It's for someone. Another teenage girl to go out of your way, move out of your comfort zone and your seat and say, hey, Autumn, I know you've been coming to church here, but I've not had a chance to meet you. My name is Isabella. My name is Joy. My name is Alexa. My name's Susie. My name's Abby. My name's Trisha. My name's Aubrey. Take the advantage, because if God's love is in you, then you ought to express the love of God to the individuals. Can I share this here? We went to visit, my wife and I, to visit the boy Alan. I thought, man, this kid's going to change the world. He's going to be like the next Apostle Paul. I just loved his enthusiasm. He wasn't shy. He was going out. And we went to visit his family. Listen to this, Pastor. His dad is from Burma. His mom is from Iraq. So the boy is half Burmese and half Iraqi. The couple, mom and dad, were some of the nicest people I've ever met in Texas. Oh, Mr. Tony, Brother Tony, Pastor Tony, we've heard about you. Our son's been talking about the church. Come on in. Sat me down. They offered me food and drink. Man, those are the type of people I like, you know? Like, if you really want to get on my good side, take me out to eat somewhere, right? Pastor knows. We've been texting about this burger place. Man, what a great family. And we're praying. The Gonzalez knows. Victor and Zulema know who I'm talking about. We're praying they'll come and visit the church. If they walk through those doors and they sit down in your pew there, will you express the love of God to them? Or will you just wonder, man, that's a weird looking couple. The guy looks Asian with squinty eyes and she looks like she's from Iraq. Are they really married? Or will you take the time to express the love of God to the individual? We ought to express the love of God to the individuals there. So I'm not just picking on teenagers. I'm picking on the adults as well, too. We ought to show the love of God. This past summer, my wife and I walked into a church. This is for the ushers and greeters. Brother Ron, this is for you here. I was walking into this church. We didn't really fit in. It wasn't our home church. And this usher acted like I was part of his church. He had a hymn book ready. Good to see you. Got my name. Here's a song that we're singing. He gave me the hymn book. I felt right at home. You know what that usher was doing? He was expressing the love of God. He was trying to help me understand, hey, I don't know who you are and where you're coming from, but God has a message for you. And you know what? The preacher, when he got up, I felt a little more comfortable to listen. Look, the pastor has a great responsibility to shepherd us. But I tell you what, we can help him by expressing the love of God. We ought to express the love of God to individuals. Let me give you this. We ought to express the love of God to one another. We ought to express the love of God to one another. How many of you are members here of Worth Baptist Church? You've been saved and baptized. Would you slip up your hand? Good. I hope you're not ashamed or embarrassed about it. You can put your hands down. It's important that we as Christians progress in our understanding of love. To love one another simply out of a sense of duty is good. But to love out of appreciation rather than obligation is even better. The right side of the church ought to love the left side of the church. The back side of the church ought to love the front side of the church there. I've heard that as a church, you have two responsibilities. Number one, you have the responsibility of pastoring the church. And how many of you have that responsibility? Uno. That's him. The second responsibility is you're either going to pastor the church or you're going to help the pastor. So how many of you are going to help the pastor? That would be the rest of us. You know one way that you could really truly help the pastor? Love one another. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold bitterness in your heart. I don't know if I could say this, Pastor, and you may fire me, but it's all right. I want to get this message out here. Yeah. Sometimes we get stuck in routines, and we forget God's love in our hearts. For example, if Miss Tori had a function for ladies, everyone ought to support her. She's a pastor's wife. It doesn't matter if your type of people is going to that thing or not. Quit thinking about yourself. It's a ministry of the local church. You ought to love one another because God's word says so right here. And I've been challenging our kids. Look, when there's a function of a local church, we're supporting it because the youth group's not a church by itself. We're trying to do what pastor's doing here. We're trying to connect ourselves. And so, look, I tell our kids, our girls, our teenage girls, they're not kids, they're not children, but when Miss Tori's got something, hey, teenage girls, you ought to go and support Miss Tori with what's going on there. Hey, think about it as a ministry opportunity. Maybe you can go and invite someone to come and be a part of a Worth Baptist Church event, not necessarily coming to church. God may work in their hearts there, right? Maybe it's a good opportunity to witness to your neighbor. Support one another. Love one another. I better go on there. I'm sorry, Pastor, about that. Express the love of God to individuals. Express the love of God to one another. Express God's love to the lost world. I don't know how many times our pastor said this. Why do we exist? Worth Baptist Church exists to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. I've been trying to tell our youth group, Pastor, why do we have a church youth department here? Here's my goal. Here's why I'm existing here at Worth Baptist Church and the youth department. The youth group at Worth Baptist Church exists to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. It's really not a different agenda. I'm trying to help our young people to love, express the love of God to this lost world. He's also said, a church that isn't making disciples isn't a church. It's just a bunch of what? Disobedient Christians who are hanging out. And I'm getting old. I'd rather not just sit around and hang out with teenagers, to be honest. Now, I love them. Like, I love the thought that people like Dylan and Israel and Phoenix can play ping pong a little better. They're giving me some more competition. It was getting kind of boring up there. But that, look, we're playing ping pong for one reason, guys. We're trying to eventually make disciples. We should be regularly inviting people to the love of God, expressing our love to the lost world. In just a few days, I believe it's October the 14th, our church will have an emphasis. It's called Open House Sunday. And Pastor has a lot of great ideas, and I'm looking forward to it already. I'm going to pick on my son again, Jonathan. I wish I could show you the picture. We don't have time. But Jonathan's playing in this basketball league, and I'm super competitive. And I still am. And that's why I'm trying to be very careful how much that's in my son, because I know it's another world that I'm very scared of entering. But I want to use athletic and sports in his life for one reason, so that he could be a witness and a testimony. So we've thrown this idea out at him, and he's played two games. It's not been good. Actually, it's been very ugly. He's the smallest one, the shortest one, and he's the only one that can dribble on the team. Like, kids are catching the ball and running. And the referees are not even sure if they should blow the whistle to stop, you know. And I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to be one of those crazy parents on the sideline. Jonathan, go help that kid. Go get the ball. Don't ever pass him the ball again. I think the first week we were there, a pass was made, and the poor kid, and you got to learn somewhere, you got to start with, could not catch either. The ball hits him right in the face. He comes running off the court to his mom. Oh, I can't play no more. At the very end of the game, I think Jonathan's stats, and I'm not embarrassing because he knows that I love him regardless if he wins or loses, and he's working hard. I think he had 7 turnovers, 2 points, 1 foul. But at the very end of the game, we had one goal really in mind. I wanted him to play well. I wanted him to enjoy the experience. He got a pretty cool jersey. I want to make sure it's tucked in. You know, I bought him a headband. Just want to make sure he looks cool. At the end of the game, I said, Jonathan, what are we going to do? He had 2 Gatorades, and we bought a whole pack from Walmart or Sam's, little 12-ounce bottles. And I said, Jonathan, let's go to see the referees. He walks over. He sticks out his hand. He says, thank you to both referees. And he said, I want to give you a Gatorade. He gives both guys a Gatorade. I get a picture with him. Here's my intent, my goal. I'm hoping right before Open House Sunday when we get our literature printed, that Jonathan's going to be able to take another one of those gospel tracts, one of those pamphlets, walk back up with another Gatorade just to say thank you. I'm trying to teach him how to show respect to authority without yelling, win or lose. I really believe, Jonathan, that those guys will at least consider coming to church because of the love that we have expressed to them. I don't know who they are. I don't know what kind of background that they have. But we're trying to express the love of God to this lost world. In our passage here, love one another begins as a commandment, verse 7. Then it becomes a privilege in verse 11. But it's more than a commandment or privilege. It is also the thrilling consequence and evidence of our abiding in Christ. That's verse 12. We're going to have this big day, and we're going to try to challenge you to invite your neighbors and get the lost here, because the gospel is going to be preached, and there's going to be hundreds and thousands of dollars invested in that day, and I hope that you'll make every effort. But how do you even love somebody? How do we express the love of God? I'm glad you asked. I want to give you this, and we'll be through. The word dwell is mentioned 5 times from verse 12 to verse 16. You'll have to take time and underline it yourself. That word dwell refers to our personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. The word dwell means to abide in Christ. It means to remain in spiritual oneness with Him so that no sin comes between us. We cannot work up this love. And to be honest, and some of you would agree with me, some people are hard to love. Some people are hard to like. Some people you just want to stay away from. But if God, who is love, is inside of you, how do you express this love? Because you cannot work it up. It comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23 speaks of that. Jesus did not simply preach the love of God. He proved it by giving His life on the cross. And He expects us, who are His followers, to do likewise. If we abide in Christ, we will abide in his love. And if we abide in his love, we must share this love with others. Whenever we share this love, it is proof in our own hearts that we are abiding in Christ. The nature of God is love, and a person who knows God, has been born of God, will respond to God's nature like a compass that naturally points to north. A believer will naturally practice love because love is the nature of God. So I ask, how is your love life? And really, it gets even a little bit deeper. Are you abiding with Christ? And I believe what our pastor needs is a church who's abiding with Christ. Because when you abide with Christ, you're dwelling with him, then it's just natural. It's just natural to love others. It's natural to love the unlovely. What's the greatest commandment? Matthew chapter 22, mark these reference here. The greatest commandment, Matthew 22 verse 36 says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We see there in Matthew 22, loving God and loving others. Those two go together. What should distinguish us as a church? What should distinguish us as a youth group? It's not nicer buildings. It's not bigger activities. It's not better programs, because the truth is the world has a lot better of all those things. What should distinguish us? Because we can't compete with the world. The thing that should distinguish us is our love to the unlovely. May God help us all to love one another. Would you pray with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, and I'll open this invitation and pass it to the pastor. I talked about experiencing the love of God. If you've never done that, make tonight the night of salvation for you. Well, folks here at the altar that could take a Bible and show you how you could know that your sins are forgiven and that heaven's your home. But really, the message is for the rest of us, and I'm preaching it myself, because when we think of individuals who are walking in, will you love them? Our church is getting big. It's easy to get lost in the crowd. Take some time, take an effort to express the love of God to individuals. Express the love of God to one another. May there not be any bickering or talking or fighting because of a classroom or something that happened in the past. Get things right with one another. And help us to love this lost world. Help us to express our love to them. Lord, I thank you for the message you've given me, and I pray that you would help us all to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and minds, and help us to love one another. We thank you for these things, we pray.